20 yards out!
That is a jewel from Jewel.
Tim Cahill has done it again! What a goal by Tim Cahill!
Thompson!
Five goals to Archie.
Swing down, Paducah's header from North Melbourne. And the league champion, Dan Laws over there.
On 11:16 SEN, the Four Diegos.
G'day everyone and welcome to the Four Diegos here on 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Rodrigo Rodriguez with you on a big, big night on Melbourne Radio. Firstly, thanks to Stephen J. Peake on another fantastic show. And of course, Stephen J. Peake, in his own inimitable fashion, will be on again tomorrow night with his show again. And of course, the Diegos are back on Friday night, of course. Melbourne Victory take on Brisbane Roar, and the final whistle will be here. The show tonight is brought to you by Premium Sport Tours, because nothing beats being there. Go to www.sporttours.com.au or 1-800-4-SPORT. That's 1-800-477-678. Check them out on Facebook as well, because they have got some fantastic packages and some tickets to ride around the world of sport. And if you want a ticket, go to Premium Sport Tours, because nothing beats being there. Of course, Vinny Venezuela, you're in the house. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Rodrigo. Great to be here. Yes. And I'm sharing a microphone with Warren, which is a little bit titillating.
It is. Well, Warren, hands above the desk, please. Welcome to the show.
Can I talk now?
Yes, you can.
Oh, good. Because normally I like interrupting Vinny, but it's almost impossible tonight.
Well, it won't be tonight for the first hour in particular. And Carlos Alberto Diego, you're here as well.
Yeah, good evening, guys. Good and it's good to see that Warren and Vinny are sharing more than just a bedroom in Brazil.
That's right.
Yes, yeah, so used to shack up together. Was it you guys?
Yeah, we're going to the next level now, Carlos.
Oh, look, it's 8 minutes past 10 and it's a big, big night here on the Diegos, because it's Legends Night. Mm. Because in the studio tonight, we've got a true superstar of Victorian leagues in the 60s and 70s joining us. In person, and we can't believe it, in his heyday, the electrifying skills and free spirit of our legend brought unprecedented adulation by not only South Melbourne Hallis fans, but football fans around the country, especially in Victoria. And he really had a rock star status, rarely seen in the game in this country. For his skills on and off the field, he's been described as the George Best of Australian football. But to South Melbourne fans, he's affectionately known as Cocky. Please, a big Four Diegos welcome to our legend tonight, Ulysses Kokkinos. Welcome to the show, Ulysses.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's my privilege to be here.
Mate, it's a real pleasure having you. We talk about you in you know, little short bursts when we reminisce about the glory days of Victorian football. And I've got to say, look, it's 2016, right? You know, we're on SEN. There's an A-League going on. You're a legend of the game. You're in amongst, you know, the 48ers.
Radio stars.
Yeah, radio legend. Now, I'm going to ask you a tough question first. Can you remember your first radio interview?
No.
No. So this will be memorable. You can.
Yes.
Go on. Who do you remember who it was?
With Fred Villiers.
Fred Villiers. Oh, he's a legend.
Channel 7.
There you go. He is a big, big legend. Tonight we're going to talk to you about your life in football, and especially your life around Victorian football. So, Carlos, I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, just on the Fred Villiers ones, I know Warren's going to get in with the serious questions first, but Fred Villiers is a really, really great man. At a time when there wasn't much media, especially mainstream media looking after football or soccer at the time. Tell us about Freddie Villiers, because he had the little spot on Channel 7, The World of Sport, where they had AFL football, you know, for about 4 hours and probably 5 minutes of soccer. And you were on there regularly, weren't you?
Yeah, I was almost every Sunday, about half an hour. And Fred Villiers was a brilliant man. And he brought the soccer on the newspapers in a big level, because he came from England. And I think he was writing for Arsenal. But he was a great man, very close friend.
Ulysses, in terms of arriving in Australia and playing football, how hard was it? When did you actually get here to start playing football, for the listeners who don't know much about your career?
South Melbourne.
Yep.
I went to South Melbourne when I first came here. And I think my first game was end of 66, Ample Camp, or the beginning of 66. Which the take care of coach was John Anderson, brilliant player. And he was the one that he gave me a chance in the Ample Cup. And I remember the first game was against George Cross. Yeah.
George Cross. So, hey, Ulysses, if you want to to send a message to Ulysses, 0433 98 11 16.
Now, Ulysses, we were talking about all the other distractions that people, young people, have these days, all the other different things that they can play. Interestingly for you, soccer and having a soccer ball was really the only thing that you ever wanted. But you talked about your dad not necessarily being in favour of you playing football. Tell us about growing up and, you know, that pull between, you know, working in your dad's business against pursuing a dream around playing football.
Yeah, that's correct. My father wasn't, he was against for me to play soccer. He wanted to pursue in a family business, go to school. But unfortunately, I had only one thing in mind. It was soccer, the round ball. And nobody told me. Nobody told me anything. You know, I just...
And this was the point of being, what, 15 or 16 or 17 years of age and deciding that you were going to pursue a dream of playing football, and you find yourself on a boat and find yourself coming all the way to Australia by yourself. Tell the listeners a little bit about that story.
How you got on the boat and how you arrived in Australia. It's a very interesting story.
Well, I suppose not very many people know that, but that's the truth. You know, I got into the ship, Patrice, from Piraeus. And, the next stop was Perth.
And then
I got out from Perth because I didn't want to risk another 3 days to come to Melbourne. So a crew member that he was in the ship, he had his uncle, which I slept there for a night. And the guys gave me about £3, I remember. And the next day I went to the train station. And I find myself in Spencer Street.
So that when you came to Spencer Street, you were taken in by someone that you deem a guardian angel, right? You need people along the way that look after you, because you're on your own, weren't you?
I was on my own, yeah.
You were on your own. How old were you?
16.
16 years old. You know, that's a long trip on the Patrice, which a lot of our Greek friends came to Australia on that very ship too, didn't they? I mean, that's a very important...
Well, I'm thinking about it now, and I've got goosebumps. I mean, I had nobody here, cousins, no brothers, no sisters.
Did you pack a football? Did you have a soccer ball in your suitcase?
No, I had it in my mind, though.
You had it in your mind?
How long, Ulysses, did it take you, once you got to Melbourne, and of course, you're almost homeless. If it wasn't for this guardian angel who met you in a restaurant and decided to give you a roof over your head for a while, you had nothing. So how long from that moment to the time you first trained with South Melbourne?
2 weeks later on, I said to my guardian angel, take me to someone that you can take me to training. So he took me to George Papadopoulos. He's not with us anymore, unfortunately. Great player from Heracles, from Greece. And I went to his shop and he took me to the South Melbourne training.
Now, Ulysses, I want to know, I think all great players have got a degree of confidence in their own ability. Did you always feel like you could play the game, that you were a little bit better than other people around you as you were growing up, as you were playing? Did you have that sense that you could play the game?
No, I never had the sense that I was better than anyone, but I knew was something there with me, with a ball. But I never thought that I was better than anyone, really.
What was it in particular that made you think I could make a career out of football?
Well, I suppose you don't know that. You take day by day, but that was my dream, to play soccer. And to be honest, when I came here in 66, I was sitting on the stands. And when I saw South Melbourne Football Club, the players, I honestly thought I had no chance to play. It was absolutely superstars, one better than the other.
Who were some of those players? Too many to
mention. I mean, Jim Pirgolios, Panathinaikos ex-player, Andreas Roussis, Taki Mandarakis, Bedford, Bouli Kamburopoulos. He was one of the greatest talent from Olympiakos that he came over. Nestoridis. And, I find myself through these superstars.
Ulysses, how did players of that calibre, because we're talking about Greek football in the 60s and 70s, and you've got to remember Panathinaikos, as you know, made the European Cup final in 71.
That's correct.
And so they must have been half-decent teams. So the league must have been quite strong, but just had all these players from Greece playing at South Melbourne. It's almost, I would think that in those days, that South Melbourne team probably would have been able to compete in the Greek league. It would have been so strong.
Yes, if they were training like every professional players every day of the week, yes. But these players, they were training because we were not on FIFA, so the players was free to come to Japan, just to South Melbourne, to just cross, as you know yourself. And it was absolutely. I mean, I owe my career to these guys. I mean, playing with these fantastic players, they made me who I am, actually. And don't forget the crowd.
How many people used to come to watch the football in those days? It was over. It was like 20,000.
Well, the last. At least we had 15,000 yes. in Middle Park, but Olympic Park we had 29,000 people. It was amazing, amazing.
Now, Ulysses, you talk about going to South Melbourne and seeing these great players play and you're in the stands. How did you get from the stands onto that pitch? Did someone make a mistake and you just thought, I can do a better job?
I think he did. I don't know what John Anderson was thinking, but, you know, he told me to be... and the dressing was 7 o'clock on Friday, which was the Ample Cup. Yes, and that was the beginning at the.
But had he seen you play before, or did he just knew you could play, or did you go to a training session, or how did it happen?
Obviously, he saw me in training and in scratch games, and he thought I was good enough to play, and I thank him.
Yep. They say, we know that you're a very humble character, but that first training session was something special. Little birdie told me that you rocked up to the training session, no one knew who you were. You were almost watching it from the side, so you ended up picking up a ball and juggling it. And before you knew it, because there used to be a crowd who turned up to training in those days to watch the players train, and instead of watching them, they started watching you juggling the ball. Can you tell us a bit about that story?
Well, I mean, it was amazing when when I went for training from the dressing room into the pitch, I saw about 2,000-3,000 people. I thought, what's going on here? Definitely they didn't come for me. But, because I was new, they didn't see my face before, and I was juggling the ball and I was doing sort of things. Yeah, and I saw everybody come around me, and I heard a voice, which was George Papadopoulos, that he took me to training. He said, he is mine.
The advent of the first player agent, no doubt, looking for a cut in some way. But just back to the Ampol Cup final in 1967. It was one of your first games for South Melbourne. You got on and you scored two goals in front of 23,000 people there. What were your memories of that night? I mean, 23,000 people at a cup final in the late 60s? I mean, that's a huge achievement, not only for Australia, but around the world at that time. That's a big crowd. And I can imagine the adulation there would have been a lot.
I can't describe it. It's a real ecstasy. It's fantastic. Fantastic. I mean, there is no words to explain that. I mean, they can put you a lot of gold. And you say which one you want. I mean, obviously that one.
Right.
You know, it's...
Ulysses, it's fair to say that you've enjoyed life. Now, it's probably fair to say that you loved Australia and you loved football in Australia, but you loved the lifestyle and the things that came along with that. Now, if anyone wants to Google a picture of you too with the best afro I've ever seen, but it's fair to say that you...
In a non-African-American.
Yes. It's fair to say that you enjoyed... the life around football, the complete package of playing for South Melbourne and everything that that came with.
Yes, I did. I did. I tremendously. And the first reason is I felt the love of people. That's why I love them back. I mean, we had the South Melbourne support was something else. It was amazing people, amazing. I just love them.
Ulysses, tell us the truth. How many fathers, Greek fathers, offered their daughter's hand in marriage for you over the years, especially in those early days?
Well, my father told me once, if I had a daughter, I wouldn't give it to you. But I'm jealous of your heart.
But was it like that? I mean, obviously, as Warren was talking about, you're special on the field, but, you know, your lifestyle off it would have been, given that I think you may not have been being paid as a professional footballer, but that's all you were doing in those days. Tell us about your normal week. Would it be training during the day, out at night, training the next day, out at night? I mean, how many times a week would you train? How many times a week would you be going out?
Which one you want me to tell you first?
Just tell us about your week.
I've got a feeling I know the answer, but you know, because you're a naturally gifted footballer. But apparently you're also fairly gifted
on the dance floor.
No, I trained. I used to go to the beach and I did some sprints on the beach. But I also did some training at night, to be honest, on the dance floor. Yeah.
What was the disco of choice in those days?
We had a few choices. First choice was Chasers.
Chasers, okay.
Yeah. And then a few other clubs.
Here we go. Just quickly, just a couple of text messages here. Beautiful guy, this guy, so humble. That's Chris McMahon. At that time, all the players of other clubs would attend games. Can Ulysses remember a German player called Schumacher? Can you remember a guy called Schumacher at the time?
There's a German goalkeeper who played for Germany, but I can't remember a player. Yeah.
Now, Ulysses, given you did the Ampol Cup and you scored a brace after that, how soon was it that you felt like you were becoming bigger than you realised or, you know, expected to become? Like, you're obviously a great football player, but did you become a star overnight? And then was that something difficult to sort of cope with?
It came very quick, actually. It came very quick. Maybe I was, as I said to you before, you know, the ball liked me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to cross the ball and the ball was going to the net.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the ball finds you. That was one of your quotes off air that you said to me. Yeah. You know, that day, you know, I wasn't feeling well, but the ball found me. The ball found me.
Exactly.
Now, Ulysses, you weren't a one club man by any means. You moved from different clubs. Do you think that was good for your career in some ways, that you went and played at different places and you experienced, you know, different supporters and different teams? Or do you have some regrets about maybe not being, you know, a one-team player coming to Australia and playing a career out at South Melbourne?
Well, the only regret that I have is I remember when Ray Rashik was the national coach and he picked me. And unfortunately, I couldn't get the Australian naturalized because before I went to Panathinaikos, I didn't have 3 years here. So they tried pretty hard, but that's the only regret that I've got that I should have represented the Australian colours.
Well, let me tell you, you know, I think, Carlos, you mentioned a number of times there was one player that, you know, you'd hoped played for Australia and it was Ulysses Kokonos so many times. But Ulysses, we're going to take a break now.
Yeah.
Come back with a whole lot more. You're doing very, very well. And we're getting a lot of love off the text messages here on 0433 98 1116. The show tonight is brought to you by Premium Sport Tours because nothing beats being there. We're with Ulysses Kokonos on the Four Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
I told them that no matter what they did in the second half, that I'd still love them. And that their mothers would still love them. But I wasn't too sure about their 10% agents, amphetamine dealers, mistresses on the side, the mob, illegal bookmakers, fickle wives, club groupies, hangers-on, high-priced call girls, and club sponsors. This has been a profound coaching moment by the Four Diegos.
here on a Wednesday night with you for a couple of hours. And in the first hour, it is our Legends Night because we're speaking with South Melbourne legend and Victorian football legend Ulysses Kokkinos, and really enjoyed the first 25 minutes or so, Ulysses. The show tonight is brought to you by Premium Sport Tours because nothing beats being there. Go to www.sporttours.com.au or 1-800-4SPORT. That's 1-800-477-678. If you want a ticket to an EPL game or a couple of tickets, La Liga game, Serie A, Euro 2016, make sure you check out Premium Sport Tours because they've got all of your tickets and all of your packages ready for you.
They will even take you back to the future to watch a game with Ulysses Kokkinos, South Melbourne, 1967 AMPOL Cup against Sunshine George Cross. That's how good they are at Premium Sports.
That's right. They've just upgraded their website, so I'm thinking they might have taken that off. But anyway, off the text messages now, 0433 98 1116. What a man, Ulysses Kokkinos, the man, the myth, the legend that Dad spoke about all these years. What a legend. So that's just some of the sentiment coming off the text message machine. Ulysses, before the break, we talked about, you know, how you got here, South Melbourne, how you just love the club, you love playing, and you loved playing hard as well off the field. And we've got a couple of calls on 9429 1116. Peter from South Melbourne. Peter, good evening and welcome to Legends Night with Ulysses Kokkinos.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you
today? Hello, Ulysses.
Hello, Peter.
So sorry, who is this? Is this Peter Kokkinos?
It's Peter Kokkinos.
Oh, there you go. Of course, who was just on and is the general manager of South Melbourne Football Club. Hey, Peter.
Former,
of course. Yeah, we like to call, you know, you've been in the chair, so, you know, you'll always be the GM. Just quickly, what is some of your recollections and what do you love about this man, Ulysses?
Look, unfortunately, I missed seeing him play. I was born a little bit too late. But I just grew up listening to my father and my uncles would congregate and, you know, and have dinner. And on Sunday nights, they'd listen to Greek football matches. There'd be the wireless there and there'd be some game on. And at halftime or, you know, before the game, they'd be talking about the old days and of course, some of the legends that were playing in that time. And Ulysses' name came up so many times, and I was just, you know, from a young age, just absolutely used to absorb all the stories, and I just wanted to know so much about him. Of course, finally got to meet him when I got older and read up about him, and so he's touched so many lives, and he's, you know, he was an amazing footballer, a huge talent. He was the type of footballer that brought people to the ground. He was an excitement machine, and of course the stories off the park were just as legendary. And you know, he played like Phil Carmen on the ground, and off the ground, he was even better. So he was just an amazing character, and one of the few guys at that time that crossed over in the media. You know, obviously at the time soccer was very much a game in the ethnic community, and you know, obviously that article that when he discussed how he prepared for a match in very conservative times, you know, everybody would talk about having a good night's sleep and whatnot, and Ulysses came out in the only way he could and spoke about having a red wine and entertaining a lovely lady, and that story was huge, and that got him onto Channel 7 and TV, and it just, yeah, and that's Ulysses. He was larger than life for so many of us. We all wanted to be him, and you know, and we wanted to, and he's a hero to many of us.
Ulysses, obviously, you know, Peter spoke about, you know, those larger than life. You know, what do you say about that? What did you make of this whole thing that was growing around you? Not just the footballer, but you, the George Best of Australian football.
Well, last bit I said, he never saw me playing, but his father did, and that's a great thing. You know, sometimes I go to the ground even now, and 20 years old boys, I says, I know you. I said, how do you know? He says, you lose cogging. I says, my father got pieces at home. So, you know, I was, and the fathers educated the children, you know, and Peter, thank you for your beautiful words. I'm very humble and I appreciate. And I appreciate what you, everything started from you, man. And I thank you for that. The George Best of Australian Soccer, when that was fantastic writing. And I'm very, I really appreciate what you've done.
Of course, Ulysses, Peter is talking about an article that you wrote, probably the first on the touching on the on Ulysses, his career and the life he led. Why is it important, Peter? Because I know you've had, even though you're no longer the general manager at South Melbourne, you've had a lot of long association with South Melbourne and the Greek community, obviously, and the football in the Greek community. Why is it important to keep the memory and the stories of someone like Ulysses alive?
Look, I just believe everyone contributes. Everyone has their time and you contribute. And if you need to remember and acknowledge, you know, those times. It's just like this time. This time's going to be history in 20 years' time. So it's very important because it just the game evolved so much in that time. And, you know, you're talking grounds of 25,000 people going to the ground. It meant so much. It just, with all due respect to the football today, it's professional, it's great, but these boys, it was more than just a job. They really played because they dreamed of where they represented people from their homeland and the people that were, you know, homesick. They were working in factories and had one day off and they went to the ground. And these guys were... they were stars. They represented them. It was just an amazing time. The money wasn't there, but I think you speak to all of them, and they really were very fortunate times to be playing in those clubs. And I just think it was a very special time in sport, and AFL as well. It was a great era, the 60s and the 70s, and. How can you not remember them? How can you not? It's just, and some guys just, you know, are special that tend to be remembered more than others, and Ulysses is one of those people.
And that's absolutely why we're celebrating Ulysses Kokonos tonight. Hey, Peter, thanks for your time tonight, as always, appreciate your thoughts on the great man.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Have a good night.
There you go. Peter Kokotis, the former general manager of South Melbourne. Warren?
Now, Ulysses, there is a story about you being asked to play left back once.
Yes.
Now, it only was once, apparently. But the thing, you might tell us about that, but the thing that I was most interested in is as you refuse to be a left back and come back to Australia, you talk about the fact that you could come back here and probably make more money than what fellow professional players or players were making in Greece. And you talked about the lifestyle being better. So tell us about the being asked to play left back, but that sense of Australia being a real destination for footballers in that time, not just because of the quality of the football, but also the money and the lifestyle that you could have.
Well, I would say I don't regret anything that I've done because you can't go back, unfortunately, and you've got to move on with your life. But I was young and I was scoring goals and that's all I knew how to do, you know. And at that time we had, our coach was Lucky Petropoulos, and he was playing the 4-3-3 formation, and he wanted the fullbacks at the overlap. And when he saw me in training, and, you know, after 6 months that we were in at the courts, because before I came to Australia I had a sign with a team called Prodeftiki, which was A-League, you know, First Division. And after when that finished, he asked me to play a fullback. And I didn't like it, really. I mean, my heart broken, you know, fullback. But if I had my chance now, I mean, it could have been a different story. Well, we can't go back. And he put me in a couple of games, and I was overlapping, but never going back, deliberately, to be honest. And, I knew that, so I didn't want to stay there, you know.
Well, yeah, striker by position, striker by nature.
Ulysses, what would you say was one of the most difficult things about playing football back then for you?
Was it difficult?
To be honest, no. Because I had so much trust on South Melbourne players. There was one better than the other one. So I blend with him, and it was fun.
Now, Ulysses, obviously you were referring to your time at Panathinaikos. You actually went back to Panathinaikos at a time when they were one of the best teams in Europe.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure at that stage, Ferenc Puskás was the coach.
Correct.
And this is a team that ended up playing Ajax in the European Cup final.
Correct.
And you were training with this team, and you basically walked out before you had a chance to play.
Yeah.
When you came back to Australia, of course, you went to your beloved South Melbourne thinking that they were going to sign you, but there were problems. And what you decided to do, I believe, is you decided, okay, well, South Melbourne, we've got a problem with you, so I'm going to go to your crosstown rivals, Fitzroy Alexander, which is the today's Heidelberg United. That must have been very... That's like going from Manchester United to Manchester City, or from Inter Milan to Inter, or from, I don't know, any derby in the world. You're going to the arch rivals. That must have been very, very difficult for you to do.
It was difficult because I had... a lot of people that didn't want me to go to Fitzroy United Alexander. I mean, even the I remember the council, Mr. Papadopoulos, told me not to go there, to be in Hellas. And I said, I don't want to mix myself with politics. You know, I'm a professional player, and the name Alexander is a purely Greek team, so I'm just going to go there, and nobody can change my mind.
Can you remember the negotiations with South Melbourne? Because everyone's telling me that they begged you to stay. What did they offer you to stay? And what did Fitzroy offer you to join them?
Every game was $1,250.
This is back in late 60s.
71.
Yeah.
That's pretty good coin in those days, definitely. Yeah, it's a bit like what we get.
The money
what,
wasn't.
What we've got over the 25 years that we went on there.
So once you crossed to Fitzroy Alexander, did you keep going to Chasers, or did you have to find a different nightclub because all the boys from South Melbourne were going to Chasers?
No, actually, Chevron and other nightclubs.
Yeah.
But Fitzroy United Alexander had tremendous team then. You know, brothers Pat Bannon. Mm. Gary Cole, I'm not sure. Tremendous players, you know, they're born with a gift. And so it wasn't... but my heart was in South Melbourne, to be honest. That's it. If you tell me now, if I got a chance, even if I was 20 now, where do you want to go? You want to go to the Panathinaikos, you want to stay South Melbourne? I will stay in South Melbourne.
Right. There you go. Melbourne Victory or South Melbourne?
South Melbourne, forever. Go. I mean, that's the team that... you know, I made my name for, and I love them. I love the people. I love the colours. I love the community.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting. Okay, we'll explore that a bit more. Let's take a break now and come back with more of Ulysses Kokonos here on the Four Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
I've had teams before that if you told them to go the far post, they sent mail to Albuquerque. This has been a sad coaching moment by the Four Diegos.
Thanks for joining us tonight on a Wednesday night, and it is Legends Night on the Diegos with Ulysses Kokonos, and really enjoyed this hour so far. The show is brought to you by Premium Sport Tours, of course, because nothing beats being there. If you think about travelling overseas and want to go and see a sporting event, go to www.sporttours.com.au and John and the team will look after you there. www.sporttools.com.au. Just a quick BBL update. Adelaide Strikers have hit a six off the last ball, Jake Lehman, to defeat the Hobart Hurricanes. So, wonderful.
One of the few close games.
Last ball, really? Six. And the BBL update is for a sports fantasy free. Don't just watch the bash, win the bash. There you go. And, advertising everywhere tonight on the Diegos, of course. And, Look, we've got some more calls here and some text messages. Hi, my uncle enjoyed watching Ulysses play. He used to take me to all the Greek matches. So you're making people remember, you know, all the wonderful, you know, Victorian football and NSL days. Great interview, guys. Such a gentleman. Ulysses Kokonos is a great legend with his great silky skills. That's coming off the SMS there, Ulysses. But on the phone now, we've got another caller, and it's Phil Diamataris, a family friend, family association with South Melbourne. Good evening, Phil, and welcome to the Four Diegos.
Good evening, guys. Congratulations, Ulysses. What a privilege it is to be talking to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
What are some of your recollections, Phil? And because it really is a tribute tonight to Ulysses, and you know, obviously you've got a, you know, your family and yourself have got a close association.
Yeah, well, look, I guess I was fortunate enough to be born into this game. My uncle was a long-time committee member and previous past president, Jim Diamataris, and my godfather was a founder of the club, Theo Marmaris, and I guess, you know, it goes without saying, I had no choice. You know, I was going to love this game whether I liked it or not. And as a kid, I was always looking forward to going to my uncle's house, you know, because he always had players there. You know, there was always a superstar South Melbourne player, and some of the players that, you know, that Ulysses, I think, mentioned before were frequenting, you know, having a barbie, sitting around, having a drink and having a chat. And my uncle was a bit of a man's man, and I think him and Ulysses kicked it off very, very well. I think, Ulysses, you had some good times with my uncle.
Especially in Flemington, yeah.
Sorry?
Especially in Flemington, he said. Now,
what was happening in Flemington, yes. Ulysses? There was no disco in Flemington.
No, there was some other GGs, I think.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, Jimmy loved it, and, you know, you looked after him every time I went there, you know.
So Phil, yeah. Phil, you were telling me a story the other day about one day you got to your godfather's house or your uncle's house.
Got to my uncle Jim's house.
Yeah, Uncle Jim's house, and there was a lot of drama going on. It was all over Ulysses. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think this time my father was speeding to my uncle's place because, and I didn't understand why, but anyway, when we finally got there, my eyes nearly fell out of my head when I saw Ulysses Kokonos in the house because, you know, as a kid, he was my idol, you know, and there was a strong rumour going around at the time that he was going to leave the club. You know, he's going to go to the arch rivals, like I think you mentioned a little earlier, that he's going across town to Fitzroy United Alexander. And, yeah, I think he was cornered by my uncle and my father and a couple of other committee members. And they worked on him for a number of hours to try and get him not to leave the club. And I remember I got a little bit sick of it and went outside. And in those days, you know, down ball was very popular as well.
Yeah.
And I think Ulysses needed a break, you know, at the time, you know, and he came out and had a hit with me as well. And I couldn't believe, here I am playing down ball with a superstar. It's like, you know, Ronaldo today, you know, an equivalent of Ronaldo playing down ball with me. And the funny thing was, Ulysses, I don't know if you remember, but I beat you.
You were good.
You were good at everything.
Phil, Vinny Venezuela here. I just want to ask you, is there a particular game that's a standout in your memory of Ulysses, that you know, a game that he played that is just embedded in your sort of mind?
Look, Ulysses always played well against Fitzroy United Alexander. He always lifted for those games. You know, the bigger the crowd, the, you know, the better he played, and he would always create some magic. You know, I can't believe somebody, and I'm listening to your interview tonight, and he's so humble, yet this guy was so flamboyant on and off the park. You know, how can something be so different, you know? And that's what I remember him being on the park. It wasn't one game in particular. You always knew he was going to create something magical. He was the one that was going to turn a game, you know, and you just expect it. And as a kid, you'd watch him touch the ball and expect him to do something magical with it. And, you know, that was the beauty of having him at the club. And that's why we didn't want to lose him, you know. And when he finally did go, I think he's a little bit humble here, but he was... Do you know the story about this guy?
Go ahead, Phil. Tell us about it.
Yeah, do you mind if I share this one?
Not at all, Phil. Not at all.
He went across to Heidelberg, I believe, for an amount of money at that time, for about $1,500 a week. And I remember $1,500 a week back in the late 60s, early 70s, you could buy a house in South Melbourne, Middle Park and Elba Park, you know. And, you know, if you equate it back to the earnings of a Premier League player today over in England, I mean, that's a lot of money. And people, the reason why he deserved that money is because he could pull the crowd. He could do the magical things on the park. You know, he could build people's imaginations, you know. And I think Peter Kakos mentioned earlier, you know, he was the very first one to actually, to cross over to attract the interest of the general population rather than just the ethnic population. You know, he captured the imagination, because he went and did something like tell people that, you know what, I have sex before every match and get a photograph on a double bed in the middle of Middle Park, you know, and put that on the second page of, I think it was the Sun or the Sunday Observer. Ulysses, you might remember that one.
Yeah, no, he
how
does.
How can I forget that?
He's been very modest tonight, but sports scientists all around Australia
they're rethinking things.
Today are rethinking things, absolutely.
That was his remedy, and I guess it worked for him. And people, you know, I'm sure that there's people listening to your program tonight who are of not of ethnic origin that probably remember that because he did. You know, from a marketing point of view, and marketing's very different today, you know, there was something magical happening there and we didn't take advantage of it, but I think he played a big role in where the game is today, you know, and we should all be, you know, we are thankful of it, and it's, congratulations to him for being recognised like this as well.
Well, Phil, Ulysses, do you want to, just before we let Phil go, would like to say something?
Yeah, thank you for your comments. I really appreciate it.
Humble again.
Good on you, Phil. You've brought some, I can just tell, just because you can't see him, you've brought some wonderful memories back to Ulysses just then, mate. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Good luck, guys. Fantastic show.
There's Phil Diamataris.
Now, there was one thing, Costa Nestorides, a legend that came over to Australia and coached the club. You didn't always see eye to eye with Costa. And tell us about the famous game where he didn't play you because you wouldn't get your hair cut. And how he ended up playing you in that game. Could you tell us a story?
Yeah, he always had something with my hair.
You had the big Vinnie Cotoggio afro, big afro.
Yeah, the reason I did that, tell you, when I was living with my father when I was young, he was sending me to the to cut my hair every fortnight. You know, he was, you know, old school. And when I came to Australia, I mean, all I wanted to leave my hair, you know, and
grow it out, as the young kids say.
One day, he said to me after the game, he said, "Don't come Tuesday to training if you don't cut your hair." So I went to Tuesday with my hair. You know, I didn't cut my hair. I didn't want to cut my hair. So he said to me, "It's the last time I'm telling you. Thursday, don't come to training if you don't cut your hair." So I went again on Thursday. With my same, you know, with my hair. And after the training, he said to me, "Do not come to the game and don't mess up the game." That's a true story. And I didn't cut my hair. And you remember Middle Park, you were coming from this side to go to the, now he was sitting next to the, when you're going into the dressing rooms, and he saw me and he sent someone to tell me not to go to the dressing room, which I didn't. But what he did, he put me on the shit. You know, we were playing with Melbourne. I'll never forget that. And it was Easter. It was 0-0. So all of a sudden, I hear my name from the speakers. He was going down to the dressing room. So what he had? He had a chair, three people. So when I walked in, they took me, they put me in the chair, and they cut my hair.
Before the game, they cut your hair.
On that, in the halftime. At halftime.
Halftime.
And then they put you on, didn't they?
That's an awesome story.
They cut my, when I come to the second half, people were saying, "Who is this guy?
Is it the same guy? Is it the same guy?"
That's funny.
But when I scored the two goals, I thought, there's Ulysses.
We're going to have to take a break now because we're running very short out of time. But let's take a break now. Four Diego's, 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home sport. It has been Legends Night here on the Four Diego's with football legend Ulysses Kokonos. Ulysses, we've got a very short time to go, but thank you for being on. Have you got any words that you want to say?
Yes, thank you for being here for this invite, and I'm privileged to be here. I'm very humble. I would like to thank all the supporters that have supported me all these years and still are from every club. And I just say to my fans, I love you guys.
It's our privilege, mate. Thank you for being in the studio with the Four Diegos, and we'll talk to you sometime soon. It's news time here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.